Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice published and posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Weissman?
Here.
Mr. Patel? Kalpesh. Mr. Riggio?
Here.
Mr. Blount? Mr. Minarondo?
Here.
Chairman Cahill?
Here. Please, will everyone stand for a salute to the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Are there any changes to the agenda?
Yes, there are. The application of DF Osborne Construction has requested an adjournment from tonight until May 26th. The matter will not be heard tonight. There is no further notice required by the applicant since they noticed for tonight. So DF Osborne Construction, 1280 Centennial Avenue, is adjourned.
Okay. Let's move on to item number 5, 22-ZB-17V, Michael Dudas.
Is Mr. Dudas present?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Dudas, could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
I'd like to, my existing porch is in need of repair. So I'd like to replace the existing porch with a new porch with a landing on it.
And you were here 2 weeks ago and we adjourned this because you didn't have the opportunity to talk to Mr. Henderson. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And have you had a chance to talk to Mr. Henderson?
No, I haven't.
And Mr. Henderson, could you weigh in here?
Yeah, I've looked at this application. The problem here is a lot of the homes on this area on Church Street are substandard as far as the front yard setback. In this particular case, the existing steps, I believe, are 14 feet 9 inches from the front yard setback. So I understand that he wants to put a landing in and he also wants to redo the steps. But I believe you'd be able to turn the steps to the side, still have a landing, and not exacerbate the existing variance condition and make it worse. That's my concern. I mean, after the proposal, we're looking at 11 feet 9 inches when 25 feet is what's required. I know Mr. Dudas has provided some pictures of some homes across the street, but every single home on this side of Church Street basically has the same condition, steps that go right up to the house or to a covered porch, but nothing with the landing on his side of the street. Also, I don't know what the case is on the homes across the street. I do see landings, but again, I don't have mentions for each one of the homes have landings across the way. They could be, you know, a little bit, their setbacks could be a little greater, obviously without knowing what the dimensions are. But this particular case, I just don't know if it makes sense to exacerbate that variance. There's the possibility of turning the step to come out to one side or the other and keeping it where it is now.
Mr. Dudas, based upon what Mr. Hinterstein has commented, do you have any response to that?
Yes, I do, sir. First of all, there's 10 residences on my street that have masonry front porches with landings. There's at least 4 of them on my side of the street. There's also 5 residences with open front porches, which for all practical purposes, that's the same as a landing. You exit your door, you have a landing before you proceed down the stairs. So that would be 62% of the residences are like that. The remaining residents that have steps without a landing, including my residence, total mine, that equates to 37%. So there's twice as many houses on my street, technically, with landings, with front porches with landings on them.
Mr. Dudas, you've said that they have front porches with landings on them, but you haven't given us the setbacks.
How can I get the setbacks? I would gladly come in and look at the tax maps, but the taps are still closed under the guise of health issues. It's impossible to look at tax maps if you can't go in and look at them.
Mr. Dudas, this is John Chadwick. Henry, yes, if you could put the steps to either side.
Well, can I address that?
Yes, that's being what I'm asking you.
Okay, well, being in construction for over 30 years, one of the basic premises is that you don't increase the scope of a project if it's not needed. And to turn the steps to the side to go to my driveway, you're adding a layer of, I have to construct a new walkway. Additional steps need to get constructed to get to the level of my driveway. Demolition of the existing walkway to the front walk would have to take place. Repair to the landscaping after the project would have to take place. And to move the porch in that direction, my water service comes in on that side, and it's never any good to do construction around a water line if it's not needed.
He explained the reason why he didn't want to do it.
Excuse me?
You've explained the reasons
why he doesn't want to do it, right?
Well, it isn't feasible when I can just construct the porch. All I would have to do is cut the existing walkway and not add all those layers to a construction project.
Just because it is easier for you does not give the board the evidence it needs to grant the variance. There are certain legal ramifications that you need to provide.
Such as? I've just given you four or five good reasons why it's not feasible to turn the porch.
You've given us reasons why it's not feasible for you, in your opinion. You haven't given us legal grounds for a variance.
It's hard for me to give legal grounds. I'm not a lawyer.
Understood, sir. If this was something that we required to get this application approved, would you consider it?
Consider what, sir?
The turning the steps to the side, the mentioning those five things you said you didn't want to do. If we said you have to do it, is that something you could come up to and do to get this application approved? I told you 2 weeks ago, we 99.9% of the time, we follow the direction of our township engineer. And this is what he's recommending. We want to help you out. We don't want to deny the application.
I just think it would add such a cost to the project.
Mr. Dudas, I'd like to just add something. You're saying it's going to add all these costs in the project, but couldn't you just turn the steps one side or the other and then just put a walk from the bottom step around to the front and tie into the existing walk that's to the front? It doesn't sound like you're looking to add a walk your driveway anyway, since your walk is going out to the front. It doesn't go out to your driveway. So I don't know how you're accessing your driveway now, but I guess across your lawn. But if you're not concerned with tying it into the driveway, all you would do is turn the steps to the side. It doesn't have to be right up against the house. You could have the landing be actually a little bit wider now, because you could bring it all the way to where that existing stair, end of the stairs is. You'd probably be able to do a 5-foot landing versus a 3-foot landing, and then put your 3 or 4 foot wide steps off to the side, and then just build a small walk from the bottom of the step tying into the front walk.
I understand what you mean, but it wouldn't tie into the existing front walk. I would have to construct a new walk.
A small one to tie into the front walk.
I understand what you're saying.
And then you would have also a more substantial, perhaps, landing. So in that sense, it may benefit the size of the landing that you would have. Is there any way you could reduce the size of the landing so that it's only like a larger step, like 2 feet?
I could most certainly do that.
I think that's a good compromise. I think if you could reduce the landing another foot, you have at least a place to stand a little bit more comfortably at the door. And then the setback would be closer to 12 foot 9 inches.
I could most certainly do that.
I think that would be a good compromise instead of laboring this.
I do also, sir.
Okay, Mr. Dudas, it seems like we've come to a compromise. I'm going to open it to any other members of the board have any questions? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any questions for this application or comments?
No comments.
You almost got me, Jim.
No one's raising their hand, Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Dudas, I'm going to make a recommendation to approve this application with the compromise mentioned. Henry and Jim will work out the particulars, but I make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second it.
Ms. Colarol?
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio? Roy, you're on mute.
Roy, you're muted.
Yes.
There he is. Mr. Reggio? Mr. Blount? Not yet. Mr. Patel?
Yeah.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application's been approved as amended. We'll memorialize this in a written document at our next meeting. You don't need to be present for that. We'll mail that document to you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Hinterstein, thank you very much for the compromise.
Thank you, Mr. Dudas. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Before we call the next application, okay. I know at least one board member has joined the board during that hearing. So could we check and see who's here? Because I know we have use variances later in the evening.
Well, right now we have five.
Mr. Blount,
he was coming home from work. He's signing on as soon as possible. He was just getting off 287.
Okay, so anybody that's here on the use variances, we expect six. The six has not logged on yet.
Yep, here he comes now, actually. All right, Mr. Blount's on.
Okay, we now have six members.
Thank you.
Can I proceed, Jim?
Not expect any more than six.
Okay, let's move on to item number six, 21-ZB-43V, Bala Subramanian.
Is Mr. Subramanian present?
Where is Bala?
Mr. Subramanian, are you present? Laura, do you see him?
No.
Have you seen him at all?
No. We have two pages. I don't see him.
Okay.
Or maybe let's go to number seven.
All right. I'll skip him. We'll circle back. Let's proceed to item number seven, 22-ZB-22V, Jason Dolphin.
Mr. Dolphin, are you present?
You're muted.
Mr. Dolphin, I think you're muted.
Perfect.
Mr. Dolphin, are you present? Mr. Dolphin?
Yeah, he's not muted. I don't know if his speaker's not working. Don't panic.
Mr. Dolphin, can you hear us?
Yeah,
oh, it's got an issue with his phone.
Yeah, he's going to call it in now.
Okay. Why don't we give him a second and not jump to number eight?
Okay.
How are we looking, Mr. Dolphin?
Yeah, he's dialing.
Jason Dolphin.
Join the meeting.
Mr. Dolphin, are you present?
Can you hear me?
Mr. Dolphin?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Thank God. Mr. Okay. Dolphin, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
It happens.
We all have technical difficulties from time to time. I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth. Put your hand down, give us your name and address, and explain to the board what you'd like to do.
Jason Dolphin, 124 Sturbridge Drive, Scataway.
Hello? Yeah, hi. I'm in a zoning board meeting. Can I call you back in about an hour?
Go ahead, Mr. Dolphin.
Yep. So there's two aspects of the project. One is building a shed in the backyard, 8x14 shed. And then the other aspect is an addition to the house where we're building up a level.
And Mr. Chairman, it appears that most of these variances are pre-existing due to the slightly undersized nature of the lot. Perhaps you could go right to Mr. Hinterstein to see if he has issues.
Yeah, Henry, can we go over the site impact with this particular application?
Yeah, really, this application's not that complicated. Really, the only issue is that the location of your shed doesn't comply with the setback requirements of an accessory structure. So those requirements are 8 feet from each property line. So you had 2 and 5. Is there a reason why you can't meet the 8 foot setback requirements for the shed location?
Yes, unfortunately, if I went 8 feet in, it'd be in the middle of my lawn, which wouldn't be ideal for the kids playing back there. So I don't have anyone who lives behind me. It's just the park. I sent out all the notifications to my neighbors, and I don't believe they have an issue, especially Tony to the, I guess if you're facing the house to the right of me, I don't believe would have an issue. So I opted for that.
I understand that you want it as close to the edge as possible so you can maximize your yard space, but you still have a substantial yard here a few more feet to comply with the ordinance. I don't really see why you wouldn't be able to comply other than the fact that that's the location that you want, to maximize your yard. And I understand that, but I don't think that's sufficient planning criteria to justify it. Did you think about spinning the shed so that the doors face more of the yard versus the house? This way, I mean, to be honest with you, the 5 feet's not what's bothering me. It's the 2 feet. I think if you could get both setbacks to 5 feet, I think that would be an acceptable compromise. So an additional 3 feet along the back. You need to show some criteria or prove some, criteria of home hardship in this particular case, why you wouldn't be able to put that shed in that appropriate location as per the ordinance. I just don't see it. I think if you spin it around, your shed's 14x8, although you're moving it away 3 more feet, I mean, you might be able to spin it in this way. You'll gain some space that way in the yard. But I mean, you still have, if anybody looks at the survey, I think you can see that there's a substantial amount of space. You removed the pool from your property, correct?
The pool has been removed, but it'd be easier if you were to stand in the backyard. If I measured out 8 feet, it would just look really awkward. It would look like the shed was 8x14, so it would look like it was sitting in a rather weird spot in the backyard. I'm just trying to maximize the amount of space as much as humanly possible.
And Mr. Dolphin, do you understand Mr. Hinterstein's suggestion that you turn the shed and set it back 5 feet from the rear and 5 feet from the side, which would give you more room in your backyard?
I do. I guess my response would be, is it more so because of the impact to the neighbors? Because there's no one who lives behind me. It's a park. There's no residence.
it isn't about the neighbors. It's a matter of setting precedent. Several, if we did it in this particular case, you know, your other neighbors could turn around and go, well, you know, he had it set at 8 instead of what Henry's suggesting. So I honestly think that if you did make this compromise, we could look favorably upon this application tonight right now.
So just one more comment, and if I have to make the compromise, then, you know, so be it. I guess the part of this process was communicating. What was that? Okay. Part of the process was communicating to my neighbors what was happening. And I guess if they didn't have an issue with it, I'm just trying to understand why it would be an issue here. And I hear what you're saying about setting
precedent. Well, because your immediate neighbors might not have an issue with it, but you still live in a neighborhood of more than two or three people or two or three homes. And we normally don't like to set up, not normally, we don't set precedents with situations like this. And I think Henry's trying to compromise a little bit by suggesting that you do turn the shed as opposed for laying out the way it is in your application. And like I said, you make this compromise and we work together, I think that you'll walk out of here with an approval tonight.
So I'll make the compromise. Again, I hear what you're saying about two or three people, but it's 200 feet that I have to mail the notifications out. So it's everyone within my current vicinity, but I understand what you're saying. And if
we look at all the residents in town and not just the particular ones that are on a specific block and whatnot. So we have a bigger responsibility that we have to abide to. So I apologize. I'd love to give every resident what they want, but we have guidelines and rules in the town that we have to abide by in order for there to be, you know, not chaos, so to speak. But yeah, if you could do that, I would open it. Well, anyone else on the board have any questions for Mr. Dolphin? Hearing none, I will open it to the public. Anyone have any questions or comments about this application? Laura?
None, Chairman.
None. Okay. Close the public portion, and I would make an a motion to approve this application with the compromise that Henry and Mr. Dolphin are willing to make on the shed.
We're saying five and five.
Was proposed. Yeah. Did I hear a second?
Okay.
Yes. Kalpesh.
Laura, take the roll.
Mr. Weissman.
Yes.
Mr. Patel.
Yes.
Mr. Reggio.
Yes.
Mr. Blount.
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando? Bill?
Yes.
Thank you. And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Dolphin, your application as amended has been approved. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting. You do not need to be present for that. We will mail that document to you, and you'll need that for your permit.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Have a good night. Let's move on to item number 8. 22-CB-16B, Heather Bailey.
Ms. Bailey, are you present?
Yes. Just trying to get my...
Three. You just muted it.
That's not video. Okay.
All right.
There you go.
Hello.
I believe you were sworn in at the last hearing.
Yes.
You remain sworn in to tell the truth.
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Heather Bailey, 23 Netherwood Avenue.
Thank you. Since the last hearing, have you submitted a revised plan?
Yeah, well, we showed it to Henry Hinterstein.
Yes, and you submitted it to the board, but it was recently.
Yes.
Okay. Henry, can you comment on the revised plan that was submitted by the applicant?
Yes, I can. The applicant called me, I think, or I called them back immediately after I came back from vacation, and they were very willing to work with the township in coming up with the revised plan. They did submit a revised plan. They took a lot of the recommendations that I had made to heart when creating this revised plan, and they come up with a much better plan. And I think the revised plan that they submitted to us, I think it was after the 10 days was something that I think the township could act favorably. I'm not sure if everybody has a copy of that plan.
I believe it was emailed to everybody today.
Okay. Yeah, I've got it. Laura, send it out.
Yeah, so I don't know if we want to mark that as an exhibit.
Yeah, let's mark that as A1, please.
And then Laura, for the file, and I think we could look at that favor. My recommendation would be to look upon it favorably as amended.
Is there a date on that revised plan, Henry?
Excuse me?
Is there a date on that revised plan?
There is. It's the date that I have is on here is 4/21/2022. Plans prepared by Architecture Plus.
And does that affect the front yard setback?
It does not have the front yard setback, but the front yard setback is not changing. So what they did is they moved the addition a couple feet back so that it steps back. They added a staircase to the side of the existing porch. The existing porch is pretty much in the same location and no new porch has been added. So it does not exacerbate what's there now.
So the existing house is violating the front yard setback, but the addition is set back further so that it does not affect the front yard setback.
Correct.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, that's all I have.
Okay. Any other questions or comments about this application from the board? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Can I get a roll?
Mr. Weissmuth?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application on your amended application has been approved. It will be memorialized in a written document at our next meeting. You don't need to be present for that. We will mail a copy of that document to you, but you'll need that for your permits.
Awesome.
Okay.
Good luck, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's go to item number 10, 22-ZB-03V, Craig and Denise Newton.
Hello, members of the board and board professionals. My name is Tim Arch. I'm a licensed attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey, and I'm here representing Craig and Denise Newton, who are the homeowners on this application. This is 237 Park Avenue, and we are requesting tonight either a certification of pre-existing non-conforming use or in the alternative, a use variance to continue a multifamily, specifically a three-family home on the property. A little bit of mandatory housekeeping, I would ask Mr. Keneally if we have proper jurisdiction in front of the board.
Yes, the notice was proper and the board has jurisdiction to proceed.
Thank you. And just for the record, I have, I believe, three memos or three staff reports, one from Mr. Chadwick dated February 21st, 2022, one from Mr. Hinterstein dated February 16th, 2022, and a DPW memo dated 2/16/22. I believe those are the only current memos, if that's by my understanding.
That sounds right.
Thank you. We do have two witnesses. I do have two witnesses tonight. The first witness is going to be Craig Newton, who's the homeowner. And the second is going to be Miss Allison Coffin, who is our professional planner. Before I get into the testimony, I do want to go over a couple of the steps that we have taken in looking into the property and looking into the use. We provided tax evaluations. Based on our records, as far back as we can see, it appears that the home was constructed sometime in the either 20s or 30s based on tax records that we could see. We provided a tax evaluation that goes back to 1954 that clearly shows that there was a multifamily use. We'll get a little more into that because there's some potential discrepancies on that as compared to a 1974 tax evaluation that clearly shows it used as a three-family use in 1974. We did do deed searches back all the way to the 40s, one in particular from 1960. I'm going to be showing to you because I think that has some pertinent information in it. We also did some newspaper archival searches. And interestingly, between about 1950 and the 1990s, we were able to find, I believe it was 17 distinct surnames associated with the property, connected to the property in some way. And either that's through birth announcements, death announcements, or police blotter listings, not too many of those, thankfully. but 17 different surnames associated with the property. The property did not change hands that many times. So obviously that is a fairly clear indication that that there was rental continuously done at that property over that time period. But I know everybody loves it when the attorney talks a lot. So without any further ado, I will ask Mr. Newton if he can be if he would come forward to be sworn in.
Mr. Newton, are you present?
Yes, I am, sir.
Could you raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Could I have your name and address, please?
My name is Craig Newton. I live at 47 Kings Highway in Long Valley, New Jersey. And thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He's all yours, Mr. Arch.
Thank you. So, Mr. Newton, you are the owner of 237 Park Avenue, along with your wife. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you've owned this property since 1976. Am I correct with that?
That is correct.
Okay. And when you purchased the property, it was there were three distinct apartments or three distinct units in that property. Is that correct? You there, Mr. Newton?
Yes, sir. It is correct. Okay. Yes.
And in the time since you've owned that, you haven't made any structural changes to the property. You haven't added any units or taken away any units. It's the same as you've had it since 1974, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And just so everybody is aware, this is one unit on, I guess, the first floor, and then the second floor is broken into two separate units. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And each of these have separate utilities. Each of these have separate bathroom and kitchen facilities.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And it's currently all three of those units are currently rented. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And can you tell us how long have those units been rented, each individual unit, if you have that information?
I do. The unit downstairs has been rented to the same party since 2004. The unit upstairs, the center unit upstairs, has been rented to the same party since 2010. And the unit on the right side of the upstairs section has been rented to the same party since 2015.
Okay. Obviously, if this house is no longer allowed to be used as a three family, at least one of those tenants is going to have to find some new place to live. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. So let's address some of the reports. I want to first direct your attention to Mr. Chadwick's report that's dated on February 21st, 2022. Mr. Chadwick's first indication is he indicates that the 1956 tax reevaluation that we provided is illegible. And I agree with Mr. Chadwick to a degree, and we'll get back into that a little bit more. He indicates that the 1972 tax reevaluation shows the structure as a three-family dwelling, and I think we certainly agree with that. And the inspection notice confirms township classification as a three-family dwelling, and that we've provided NJDCA certificates of inspection showing filing and existence of a three-family dwelling. So I think we can agree with everything in Mr. Chadwick's report. Moving on to Mr. Hinton.
Can I interrupt a second? The last paragraph, can you agree with that?
Yes, that if it is granted that there is a pre-existing non-conforming status, we will be, Mr. Newton, would you agree that we'd be happy to supply the most recent inspection reports? And if there are any violations, those will be remediated within 60 days of board approval.
Of course.
Thank you. Moving on to Mr. Hinterstein's report. Mr. Hinterstein indicates that the 1956 tax reevaluation clearly shows that the property was assessed as a two-family home. So I do want to, if I can share my screen, bring up the 1956 tax evaluation. Can everybody see that?
Yes, I can.
Okay. And I have it zoomed in, and I'll zoom it out a little bit, because I do agree with Mr. Chadwick that I think that overall it is rather hard to discern anything on the tax evaluation sheet. But I'm going to zoom in to where it indicates occupancy, because I think this is addressing Mr. Hinterstein's comment. Mr. Newton, you can see there where it says occupancy, and printed on this form, it indicates one family, and then beneath that, it indicates two family. You see that?
Yes, I see that.
Okay. And there's some sort of notation, which quite frankly, I don't know what that notation is or what that word is, because that's quite frankly hard to read. I don't know if you have any guess as to what that says. But
no.
Okay. And then next to it appears to be a check mark of some sort. So it seems clear that it's not a one family. You'll also note, Mr. Newton, you don't see anywhere on here where it indicates three family, correct, on the form?
No, I do not.
Okay. I'm going to move now, and this was already provided to the board, so I don't believe we have to mark this for anything.
It's part of the application package, I believe.
Thank you. I'm moving on to this. I don't know if this was provided or not. I'm not positive. This is the 1960 deed that is associated with it. If it hasn't been provided, I would mark this
if we're not certain if it's been marked, let's have it as marked as A1 of today's date.
Okay, I will, A1 is the 1960 deed that pertains to the property, and actually this was provided to me by you. Is that correct, Mr. Newton?
That is correct.
Okay, and if you can see that.
Do you have a date on that deed other than 1960?
Yes, sorry. Down here, September 20th, 1960, is, I believe, when it was executed. So Mr. Newton, this part that I'm highlighting right here, which indicates that the premises are occupied as follows, and it says vacant one apartment and then comma two apartments occupied. Do you see that there?
I do.
Okay. And just for the record, you didn't write that in there, and that's not my handwriting, right?
No,
that came, that's part of the recorded deed, correct?
That is correct. I received that as is.
Okay. So it's safe to say that at the very least in 1960, we can show that there, or we can see quite clearly that there are three apartment units in that building, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to Mr. Hinterstein's second comment, he indicates the size of the property is half of what's allowed in the single family zone, let alone for a three family home. I'm going to move to an aerial view of your property. I'm going to mark this as A2, if I may, Mr. Keneally.
Yes.
So this is just a still image from a Google Maps search. And this is the aerial view of your property, correct, Mr. Newton?
That is correct.
Okay. And you have a 50 by 100 lot, which is a relatively small lot, relatively speaking to lots in Piscataway, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And now, so the one neighbor on the side where my cursor is, their home is over here on this side. So they have a developed lot right next to you. And the homeowner in the back has a developed lot basically right up against your property. But the homeowner on what I'm going to say is the right side, looking at this here, actually has some undeveloped property on this side that abuts your lot. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And as part of our application, we sent a letter to that property owner inquiring as to whether or not they would sell a portion of their property in order to make our lot larger and more accommodating for a three family use. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And actually, you personally went and spoke to the homeowner and asked them personally if they would be willing to enter in negotiations to sell that portion. And I believe they said that they were adamant that they did not want to sell any portion of their property because they had plans to, at some point in the future, develop it. Is that correct?
They had plans to expand, I believe, their existing home and needed the space, according to what they said to me. Yes.
Okay, so we are limited. We can't make any more land, and we've made all efforts to try to acquire any available land on any side of this property. And unfortunately, there just isn't any available land to expand. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So Mr. Hinterstein's third comment indicates that the RSIS requires 6 parking spaces, and he indicates that there's a single driveway along here that can accommodate 3 to 4 vehicles if you squeeze them in here on this single driveway. And this is the area that he's talking about, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the whole back of this property is also paved, and you can act and can actually accommodate a car parking here in the back from where that driveway is. Is that correct?
It could accommodate more than one car back there.
Okay.
Yes.
And so actually six cars, or actually more than 6 cars would be able to be comfortably accommodated on the site by using the back area here as parking if somebody so desired.
That is correct.
Okay, so in fact, we can exceed that RSIS standard for those 6 cars based on the pavement that we have already on the property. And the last report is the DPW report, which just indicates that if not already charged at the current rate under the sewers and wastewater ordinance, that we will agree to adhere to the township's ordinance for the sewage and wastewater charging rate. And we have no issue with that, correct, Mr. Newton?
It's already being charged as a 3-family.
Okay.
I checked the sewer bill.
Excellent. So safe to say that it's fairly clear that, or at least it's clear that at the very least from before the 50s, it was used as a multifamily home, whether 2 or 3 family, we know at the very least a multifamily home, but that we can say that with confidence that that from the 1960 onward, it's been consistently used as a 3-family home with long-term tenants.
Yes.
Okay. I have no more questions for Mr. Newton, and I'll-
Thank you, Mr. Arch.
Thank you.
Anybody on the board have any questions for this witness?
I'll stop sharing my screen now if
appreciate that.
Unless anybody wants me to keep sharing it.
I have a question. Steve Weissman, I have a question.
Sure, Steve.
It's in reference to the parking. That is our primary. I'm a firefighter from Holmes Marshall. I drive frequently, and I've during snowstorms particularly, there are cars parked on the street, because there seems to be a problem with getting enough cars down that driveway. So I'd like to know more about how this, I understand if you take the square feet, you can put that many cars in it, but it doesn't happen. So I'd like to hear more justification for that.
Thank you, Steve.
So I'll leave it up to you, Mr. Newton, if you can indicate.
Okay, the residents there have told me there's absolutely never been an issue with the parking. They basically take care of the driveway. They clear without an issue. I've had these tenants for a long time. We have a very good rapport with one another. Their rents are below market, and they're, you know, I've had them for a long time. They're almost like family. One tenant I've had there for since 2004. I mean, she raised her children there, and we still have a very good relationship. In fact, I believe she's waiting to speak during the public session. But they've never had an issue. And again, there is street parking if necessary, if they have a guest or whatever. And I believe most of the street parking is taken up by the single family residents across the street. So, you know, they have more residents in their unit than I have in mine.
Again, my issue is not normal parking. It's I'm driving a fire truck coming down Park Avenue. Is our primary entrance and exit out of the neighborhood down to River Road or up to Hose Lane. And in a snowstorm, driving a big apparatus, you got to be extremely careful. They're not built for off-road. And it would be a lot easier to navigate if there are no cars parked along the sidewalks, along the curbs. specifically.
Well, you know, just for 1 second, let me comment on that. I was a property manager for 45 years. I ran properties from 1,200 units to 3 units all through the state. And if we had on-street parking, if it was one side only, which this is, there was never an issue. I mean, unless the Department of Public Works didn't plow properly. And normally, if there was an issue with a vehicle in the way, we just hook a chain to it and get it out of there. Yeah, it was very simple.
And if I could just add,
if you were a fire truck or an emergency,
if I could just add to that, again, the RSIS standard is to be able to park 6 vehicles on site. And with the combination of the driveway and the paved area in the back, there is more than enough room for 6 vehicles, which is more than what the RSIS standard requires. And in addition to that, as Mr. Newton stated, only there is no parking on the one side of Park Avenue, which should alleviate any sort of issues with large trucks having to come down that roadway. I can't comment on other individuals that park on that roadway. I obviously can't speak for other residences in that area if they park along there. But if anybody's parked on the side that does not allow any parking, I would imagine that the township would be quick to ticket and tow those vehicles so that there isn't an issue.
Mr. Arch, could you put that Google Maps photo back up? Now, if I'm the black, I don't know if that's a van or a sedan, but the one closest to Park Ave that's right by the curb.
This?
If I'm the last car in at night and there are 4 cars parked in the back on the asphalt, I'm upstairs sleeping because I worked all night. Do the tenants share keys? How does my car get moved in order for someone to get and pull my car out? Because no one's getting out of that backyard if that driveway's blocked like that.
Well, I agree. Circulation is something that has to be worked out with the tenants. But as someone who's, you know, rented for multiple years throughout college and afterwards with multiple roommates and tenants, it's an issue that is common that you have to jockey vehicles, you have to move vehicles. Again, if there was room on the site to allow for greater circulation around the other side, we made inquiries as to that. We tried to purchase property next door in order to further expand that to alleviate any sort of issue so that there was no doubt that the vehicles could be parked there and circulate well. But it's impossible to do so. And it's not a hardship that we created. It's one that we are trying to, that we tried to alleviate. And unfortunately it's impossible to do so, but we do have the adequate parking field to accommodate. And it's beholden on the residents to have to move the cars in and out appropriately or figure out when people are going to go to work, when people are coming back from work and to figure that out. The same way that anybody would have to in any sort of single driveway scenario with roommates.
I just think human nature dictates that if one time I got blocked in by one of the other tenants, I wouldn't park in the back anymore. I'd park on the street. That's all. That's just my opinion. Any other questions or comments from anybody else on the board? Hearing none, open it to the public, Jim, or should I wait till
that? You probably should go to the next witness.
Okay, Mr. Archer, next witness.
Thank you. Our next witness, I'll stop sharing the screen. 1 second.
Appreciate it.
Our next witness is Ms. Allison Coffin, who is our professional planner.
Ms. Coffin, are you present?
Yes, I am.
Could you raise your right hand? Where the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Allison Coffin. My business address is 14 Tilton Drive, Ocean Township, New Jersey. I'm a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey. I'm certified by the American.
Let me stop you there. I believe Ms. Coffin has been accepted as a professional planner before this board on numerous occasions, and as long as her qualifications have not changed.
Please proceed. They're still valid.
Thank you. Ms. Coffin, if you can please provide us with your expertise as it applies to this site.
Sure. The applicant is requesting a certificate for a pre-existing non-conforming use or structure for the existing three-family dwelling that's located on the site. In the alternative, the applicant requests the D1 use variance to legitimize the long-standing use of the site as a three-family dwelling. The property that we're looking at is 237 Park Avenue. It contains a three-family dwelling. It's located in the R10 district, which does not permit multifamily dwellings. So looking first at the history and through the lens of the certificate of the pre-existing non-conforming use, we did an OPA request for a zoning and approval history and we're not able to find anything. I reviewed the tax records and the aerials. The tax record provides a construction date of 1923 and shows the structure as existing as a three-family unit. I did go through historic aerials that go back to the 30s, and it looks like this home was built sometime between 1947 and 1953. So it's not present on the 1947 aerial. There's almost nothing on the block then. And in 1953, it's one of four homes that's on this block. So I'm not sure the tax records construction date is fully accurate. We looked at the other records. They have the 1940 census, which was inconclusive. The 1956 property card that identifies this as a two-family, but it has a note next to that that's not decipherable. It's an unusual notation to have on a card like this. And it's important to note that three-family is not an option listed on this card, while two-family is. And then we have the 1960 property deed, which identifies this as having three units in it. The 1974 property card identifies this as a three-family use, and there are some certificates of inspection issued by the NJ Bureau of Housing Inspection that identify this as a three-family, and those were issued in 2012 and 2018. So the applicant has provided evidence of the use of this structure as multifamily home commencing before 1956 when it's noted on the property card as a two-family. What's not clear is if the interpretation of this notation is accurate, as the added note is unusual and there's no three-family designation available on that card, and there's no evidence that the site was ever converted from a two-family to a three-family. So the board would be justified, certainly, in finding that a two-family use predates the ordinance, but the board could also decide that the three-family use predates the ordinance, as there's no evidence of any conversion having done on this property. So it's possible that the number of units was not correctly noted on that 1956 property card. Then looking through this as a use variance, should the board determine that they are not willing to issue the certificate for the three-family use, the applicant requests the use variance to legitimize the use. The positive reasons concept here is advanced due to the site being particularly suited to the use. The subject site is unusual in that it's developed with a three-family dwelling, has been continuously used as such for at least 62 years. We go by that 1960 deed, which identifies this as a three-family dwelling. The structure is suited for use as a three-family dwelling. It has three kitchens, separate living spaces, and separate utilities, and the site can provide the six parking spaces required by RSIS on existing paved areas of the property. It's my opinion that there's no substantial detriment to the granting of the requested use variance. The three-family home has occupied the site for a very long time without issue. The structure is still visually in character with the area, and there's no change to the property that would result from the granting of this use variance. And this proposed variance would not substantially impair the intended purpose of the master plan and zoning ordinance. The use has been present on the site for decades. There's no alteration of the property proposed, and it is easily one of the oldest homes on this block, making it unique for the area.
Thank you, Ms. Coffin. If any of the members of the board have questions, I would.
Sure. Anyone on the board have any questions for this witness? Hearing none.
I just have one question.
Sure, John.
Allison, did you have a chance to go in this building?
No, I did not.
Okay. Thank you, John. Mr. Arch, anything else?
I will indicate that just for the record that I believe photographs of the home, floor plans of the home, and photographs of the interior of all the units were provided to the board so that everybody has those. So just in response to Mr. Chadwick's comment,
we're not hiding. Mr. Chadwick's comment, his question was question. Whether or not your planner had been in the house.
As my response to Mr. Chadwick's question, those photos have been provided to the board.
And I haven't been in the house. I've seen the photos.
And they were part of the application package.
Yes.
I have not seen the interior photos. That's why I asked the question. I mean, the house has got some age on it. We want to make sure if we granted pre-existing non-conforming that it's not substandard.
Well, as we indicated before, Mr. Chadwick, we certainly would agree that if a approval is granted, that we would provide up-to-date inspections and that we would remediate any violations that the inspections bring about.
Why don't we take this one step further? If the board approves it, the township housing inspectors will go through.
Mr. Newton, do you have any objection with that?
Not at all, but we've gone through a series of property inspections by your township inspectors. The last one was an inspection for a CFO of all apartments. That was, I think, in 2019. And of course, the CFO was not granted because of the variance discrepancy. But there's no problem, absolutely no problem at all with inspectors coming in, inspecting, and we will remediate any issues.
Okay. Anyone else on the board have any questions? Mr. Arch, I'm gonna open it to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any questions or comments about this application?
I would like to make a comment.
Sure.
Ma'am, could I have your name and address, please?
My name is Maria Perez. The address is 237 Park Avenue.
Okay, you have your hand up. I'm going to swear you in. Do you put your hand up, please? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I would like to touch upon a comment that Mr. Weissman said regarding the parking. So everybody understands there are three units, there are multiple vehicles. We do always communicate with each other in terms of parking during snowstorms where we have to get all the vehicles off the street. There's never been a problem. We know each other's schedules during those times, obviously. During the day, people are in and out. So I do want to clarify that the parking situation is not a problem.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else in the public portion? Ms. Buckley?
No one, Chairman.
No? All right, public portion's closed. Anyone have any comments before I give my comments? All right, well, I'll start off. I don't believe the applicant has met the burden of proof to show the certificate of non-conforming use to 1953. I don't have a problem approving it for a two-family dwelling, but I just don't see enough out there to justify saying that it's a three. And I'm not going to think that a bookkeeper back years ago made a mistake and forgot to write three family or three apartments when the paperwork is circled for the two. So deny the application? But
you could deny the application for the use variance and the non-conforming use for the three family and grant a non-conforming use certificate for a two family.
That's what I want to do.
May I make can I make one suggestion or one comment before it goes to a vote?
Mr. Arch, it hasn't been seconded yet, Mr. Arch, so go ahead.
Thank you. Because we are dealing with a circumstance where we do have long-term tenants that are obviously living in those three units, if the board were inclined to grant approval of a two-family, obviously that's going to cause at least one of the individuals or one of the tenants to have to move and have to evict. I would ask I think it would be reasonable to, since it seems to work well with the tenants that are there currently, and there have been no issues with these current tenants, is it possible to grant the two-family moving forward, but as a condition, allow the three-family use for just these tenants that are currently there, and when one of those tenants leaves, that it then be converted to a two-family use, just so that we don't have to disturb the tenants that are there now, that clearly it's working for everybody that's there now.
Mr. Chairman, I would not advise that you grant that. What I would advise is that you grant a reasonable time. If the board acts favorably on a two-family use, then grant a reasonable time for the three-family use to cease.
And can that be negotiated by way of a developer's agreement, if a post-approval, if just to work out the details of, because I don't think tonight we'll be able to parse through all the details of what that will entail, because there's going to have to be potentially an eviction, potentially reconstruction, remodeling, all sorts of things. So could that be done by way of a developer's agreement?
And in light of the current landlord-tenant situation in New Jersey, I think that that's a reasonable request by the applicant. So if the board acts in the affirmative on the two-family non-conforming use certificate, I will include a condition that we enter into a developer's agreement as to the timing of the cessation of the third unit.
Okay. Well, my recommendation is still out there.
May I just ask Mr. Newton if that's acceptable to him before we go to a vote as well?
Yes. I'll okay. Take that.
Thank you, Mr. Newton. Can I get a second?
Yes, Steve Weissman, a second.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you. Call roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrondo?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Roach will memorialize this in 2 weeks. There will be a condition to enter into a developer's agreement, and we will negotiate that in the future.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the board. Thank you for your consideration.
Have a good night. Let's move on to item number 11, 22-ZB-20V, Maxim Real Estates.
Is Mr. Herman present?
I'm here on behalf of Mr. Herman. We work for the same law firm. I was supposed to be on DF Osborne, and he's in Rochelle Park tonight.
We'll take you. Your name, please.
Thank you. Michael Bonner with the firm of Javerbaum, Wergaft, etc. Offices in Union, New Jersey. On behalf of the applicant. Good evening, everyone. Excuse me. We're here on behalf of, Maxim Real Estate, LLC. I have three witnesses tonight, the managing member of the applicant, and a representative of the architect's office, and a professional planner. What we're here for tonight is to continue a pre-existing non-conforming use that was recognized by the Zoning Board in 1995 as existing since prior to 1937. It is in a single family zone, but it is a significantly oversized lot. The house suffered fire damage to one of the apartments. The applicant, who's here and will explain the process better than I can, went in, obtained building permits. As he worked his way through the renovation and repair, he realized that the existing construction, being so old, was inferior, and it was rotted wood and things like that. And he ended up demolishing essentially the entire structure and continued with his rebuild until someone, I think, from the building department came by and said he needed to put in an application because the demolition had exceeded 50%. So we're here tonight for the simple reason of getting a use variance so that he can continue rebuilding the pre-existing non-conforming structure and use. He is not intensifying in any way. It will be the exact same square footage existing on the existing foundation. He's rebuilding from the existing foundation up, and no C variances are required, and he meets the RSIS parking standards for the site. Having said all of that, I would like to introduce George Castellans, who is the principal of the applicant, and rather than walk him through questions, he will present his story as a narrative, and then we'll move on to the architect who will explain the plans.
Sounds good.
Good evening, Chairman Cahill, members of the board. My name is George Castellans. I am the owner of Maxim Real Estate LLC. I purchased this property.
Hey, Mr. Castellans, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your address, please.
My name is George Castellans. Address is 122 Bender Avenue, Roselle Park, New Jersey.
Could you spell your last name?
Casallins.
Thank you.
I should know better. So my name is George. I am a real estate agent by profession. I went to school in Rutgers University and lived in Piscataway for a while. So I bought a property in Piscataway because I'm very familiar with it and intended to purchase it and rent it out. On or about April of 2020, the property suffered a fire that damaged the top right unit. So the way that the house is built is there's three units. The left side of the house is a two-story unit. And the right side of the house is one story unit each floor. The top right unit had a fire that burnt the entire unit and also the exterior right wall that extended down to the right side bottom. So I put in plans and permits to the construction department to replace all the damaged wood from the fire. And I began to do so. Everything was approved and began to do so. As we started opening the walls of the other parts of the house, we started noticing the construction materials and spacing. For example, the studs were not 16 inches off center as required by current code. They're up to 42 inches in some places. The structure was very unsafe to be rebuilt on top of. So as we began to kind of fix everything up, we noticed more and more rot and fire damage, and that's what led to the structure being rebuilt. So I am seeking humbly in front of you, the board, a continuation or pre-existing non-conforming use. The resolution from this zoning board establishing the non-conformity states that it's been a three family since going back to even 1930, so almost 100 years. And I believe the proof that I have to provide here is that it will be a benefit to the neighborhood, which I intend to do by modifying the landscape, beautifying the siding, and do everything nice and safe, importantly. And then I am requiring no other variances or waivers from the board.
Thank you, George. So it's fair to say, as you were doing your reconstruction of the partially damaged structure, you realize the inferior nature of the construction work, which was possibly as old as 100 years old. And in order to rebuild code and build a much safer modern structure, you decided to proceed and demolish the structure, correct?
Correct. And I never received a stop work order. I've always been in communication with the construction department and the zoning officer throughout the process. I introduced myself. I'm the chairman of my zoning board in my town, so I always know to come into town and speak to people before I start working. So I introduced myself, and as I was going along, I notified them when I updated my plans, and that's when Don and Joe pretty much told me, like, hey, this is going to require a variance, and that's why I'm here tonight.
Thank you. Before we go on or open him up to questioning, I will recognize that we received three reports. The department, the Director of Public Works, Mr. Chadwick, and the Division of Engineering and Planning by Mr. Hinterstein. Largely, there's nothing for Mr. Castellans to deal with in either of those, except that he will agree that each unit, according to the Director of Public Works, that he'll pay the sewer use fee before proceeding and comply with the wastewater ordinance. Under Mr. Hinterstein's report, several items were raised about whether he would plant three trees, repair the curb, sidewalk, and retaining wall, reconfigure the parking area. He'll agree to do that, but the architect will explain what the plans are there, and add some foundation plantings and repair the dilapidated fence. Are you okay with making all of those changes to the existing plan?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. I have nothing further for Mr. Castellans.
Thank you. Does any of the other board members have any questions for Mr. Castellans?
Just one, Mr. Henry. Chairman.
Please.
You also agreed to revise the architectural plans to show the canopies and the appropriate setbacks, correct?
Yes, sir.
The architect will cover that.
Okay.
Anyone else have any questions? Mr. Bonneville, please proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, George. My next witness is Tom Doris from Netta Architects. Tom, where are you?
Mr. Doris, are you present?
There yes, you. Sir.
There Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I do.
Your name and address, please.
Thomas Doris, last name D-O-R-E-S. Address of the firm is 1084 Route 22 West, Mountain Sign, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Tom, why don't you explain the plans as they were designed and submitted, and then discuss the comments of Mr. Hinterstein in his report.
Before you do that, Mr. Doris, could you qualify him as an expert?
Oh, I apologize. Tom, would you explain your qualifications and assure the board that your license is current and in effect?
Sure. I have a Bachelor of Architecture from the New Jersey Institute of Technology, graduated in 2010. I also have a Master of Science in Infrastructure Planning, also from NJIT. And I have my architect's license in the state of New Jersey, and it is current.
And you've testified. I believe Mr. Doris can be accepted as an expert in agriculture.
Agriculture too, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
Mr. Bonner, please proceed. Okay. So on the topic of agriculture, Tom, let's talk about the plantings and the tree. No, never mind.
Sure. I'll share my screen with the board.
Thank you.
Okay, so before we jump into the floor plans, we can go over the site plan. So what we're showing is the existing footprint of the house. We stayed within those constraints. And on the site plan, we're showing the existing site improvements as they were previously. We have not made any alterations to those. So in terms of parking, RSIS requires 2 spaces per unit. So with 3 units, we are required to have 6 parking spaces. So within the constraints of the existing concrete and asphalt driveway sections of the property, we have here laid out 6 different 9x18 foot parking stalls. They don't necessarily have to be outlined the way they are in the drawing. These are more for diagrammatic purposes, just to show the boundary of where the automobiles can fit. So in this plan, we haven't made any modifications to the driveway or the walkways. But in receiving comments from the engineer's report, we did prepare an exhibit for tonight.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Before you move on to discussing the potential rearrangement of the parking,
sure.
Would you confirm that the square footage of the plans for the reconstruction are identical to the prior plans?
Sure. We stayed within the existing constraints of the existing foundation, and the square footage of the units and the overall structure have not increased.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Sure. So in reviewing the engineer's report, we developed an exhibit for tonight to discuss some potential.
Let's get that marked.
Yeah. Let's mark that as A1 with today's date. And you'll have to submit a paper copy of that to the zoning board.
Sure. So we showed several different parking scenarios based on some comments we received. The comments had some concern over vehicular circulation and clearances for turning radius. So we showed sort of 2 different alternates. On the left side of the site, the existing asphalt driveway, we extended it here in this drawing only a few feet. I believe it's 3 to 4 feet. So that way it can accommodate 2 vehicles in a tandem formation. In this scenario, the 2 cars would belong to a single unit. So the tenants living within the same dwelling would have to coordinate on parking schedule and who parks first and who parks second. But in addition to that, either alternately or in addition to that, we are also showing on the right side of the property an extension off of the back of the existing asphalt driveway that can accommodate 3 additional parking stalls. So within this option, if this were the only option to be explored, we can fit 3 parking spaces here at the top and also 3 over to the left. to clear up this existing large portion for turning space and vehicle circulation. That way there are no conflicts with one tenant to the next.
And there's ample space for cars to turn in and out and pull in front ways and pull out front.
Correct, correct. Cars. So this scenario would allow for backing out without conflicting with other vehicles. It would also allow for a vehicle to perform a K-turn to fully rotate and exit the driveway moving forward rather than in reverse.
And all of these proposals do not involve stacking of vehicles for several different units.
Correct, correct. The only stacking would come with a single unit.
Thank you.
No problem.
If the three additional spaces were added that are lighter green and outlined in lighter red, the space within the turnaround area, that would be eliminated, correct?
Correct.
Right.
And if I may just add, these would be designated spots. So each individual unit would have their own spaces.
And with the extra spaces, there would be room for guests as well.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Please sure. Go on.
A couple other site items, these sort of maroon squares are representing the entry porticos to the units. Again, we are not expanding the footprint or expanding the number of entryways into the dwelling or any of the dwellings. We just wanted to show them here because they weren't previously shown on our submission. So again, for the three units facing William Street, we have the three porticos, which can be wood frame with a wood frame roof over it to protect against the elements. One of the units also has a secondary entryway on the side of the structure, which we show here. All of these across the front and the side are going to be 4x8 stoops. And then in the rear, we're showing a small landing area for access to the basement. Again, something that was not shown on our submission.
And Tom, they meet the setbacks, correct? And don't require a variance,
correct.
Right?
Correct. They do not require a variance. Here you can see the line of the 25-foot front yard setback, and our three porticos are not encroaching on that. And also the 8-foot side yard setback, the side portico is also not encroaching on that. Lastly, in terms of site, we are showing some site lighting diagrammatically with these small yellow rectangles. Those are intended to be wall-mounted light fixtures that will be motion-sensored. They are being installed with the intention of giving illumination to the parking spaces for the tenants.
And I think the only comment remaining that we haven't addressed is number 5. Regarding the grading plan, will you be adding that to your plans?
Yes, we can add that.
Thank you. I have no further questions for Mr. Doris.
Does any other member of the board have any questions for this witness?
One question, Mr. Chairman.
Henry, please.
I don't see any big issues with lighting except the fact, what kind of light is that? Just a simple motion sensor?
Yes. We haven't picked out a specific brand or manufacturer or style yet.
My only concern would be is that light sort of faces directly to the side of the, I'm sure there's a house adjacent to that property. If there's a way to perhaps direct it more to the corner of the house, so that it's directed more sort of along the length of the driveway versus directly across the driveway, and that may... cause a little bit of a nuisance to the neighbor if in direct line of sight.
Yes, we will make sure to orient the lighting down and to the front regarding the that light on the left side of the house.
George, did you have something you wanted to add?
We're placing these in response. I have no problem placing them wherever the board seems fit. And of course, everything will be done to make sure it minimizes any potential impact to any neighbors.
But of course, we want to make sure that we have a well-lit parking area for safety's sake.
For sure.
Mr. Hinterstein, do you have an opinion on the parking proposal?
Well, I like the fact that the additional parking and the way it's provided on the exhibit definitely allows for freer circulation without the possibility of conflict between tenants. And it does provide, I believe, some guest spaces. So I would be more in favor of sort of this type of layout versus the original. My only concern is the two spaces on the left may still have to be increased a little bit more. I mean, your box, which represents the vehicle, is still overhanging the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So that could be a little bit of a concern. We'd like to keep that, you know, approximately 36 feet. You have 37 tents. So, I mean, it's close. We need to keep a little bit of space probably in between the cars. So we just may need to nudge that another foot or two. Just to make sure that we don't have vehicles overhanging the sidewalk.
Well, just to be clear, what we're looking for is 36 feet beyond the sidewalk.
Is that what you're saying? At least, yeah.
Okay.
Suggestion, maybe you should extend that sidewalk directly to the spaces as well.
Well, like, you see the portico on the side of the house. The two spaces are for that unit itself. So there'll be direct entry from the side to the side, from the side. From the
parking. So you're going to put a little sidewalk there then?
I don't know that that was planned. I mean, people can walk on grass, right?
If I may, I can also extend it further so if it meets that side door. That way it gives us the extra space so we don't block the sidewalk and it provides a walkway into the unit.
You're saying take the driveway all the way into where the
sure, if that,
side door is. Okay.
If that appeases that the good? Concerns, no problem.
Yeah. Okay. You could always flare the driveway so that it sort of matches up with the stoop.
Okay. Anything else?
Thank you, Henry. Any other members have any questions? Hearing none, Mr. Bonner, you can move on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Tom. Next witness is Paul Rickey, our professional planner.
Mr. Rickey, are you present?
There he is.
Mr. Rickey?
Yes.
Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I do.
Your name and address, please.
It's Paul Rickey, R-I-C-C-I, 177 Monmouth Avenue, Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey.
Have you appeared before the Zoning Board of Piscataway before?
I have over the years, not too often, but I have. I can give my credentials if it's...
Sure, please.
I'm a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey. I've been licensed since the year 2000. I'm also a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners. I have a master's degree in city and regional planning, which I received from Rutgers University in 1997. I'm currently a municipal planning consultant in five communities. I testify regularly in front of boards.
Mr. Rickey, Chairman, Mr. Rickey can be accepted as an expert planner.
Acceptable. Thank you. Please proceed.
Sure. May I just go through my testimony, Michael?
Yes. Do it as a narrative. That's fine.
Sure. Okay. I reviewed Mr. Chadwick and the other staff reports. The applicant here is requesting the use variance for the application. You heard from the applicant from a planning standpoint. I think this is an application that is something that traditionally a board would not hear. You heard from the applicant how he initially filed for permits to rebuild the, I see a little haze on my screen there, to rebuild the structure after there was fire. After fire, and it was at that time, it was clear that less than 50% of the building appeared to be destroyed. Permits were issued, and this is almost not an official criteria, a kind of like a good deed gone bad to some extent. You heard from the applicant; he saw how the rafters were overspanned, and he was an individual that wanted to provide good, clean, safe housing as part of the rebuild, rather than just slapping the building together, keeping it up in a manner that would get around zoning controls and the like. And I don't think that would be the best solution for the community. While we're here for the use variance, I think it's a better outcome for the community as a whole. I do believe as a planner that this is an opportunity to replace much needed residential housing on a lot that has historically contained such housing. I think everyone recognizes today, outside of the planning community and engineers, that there is a significant housing shortage in New Jersey and the nation as a whole. I've seen reports as up to 2-3 million unit shortfall throughout the country today. And also here, I see this as an opportunity to create workforce housing when most of the new housing that we're seeing is luxury or affordable housing or a combination of the two. If such housing was lost, this just creates a further need for Piscataway in the region to replace such housing. And again, we heard from the architect here, the applicant is looking to replace the building in kind. He's not seeking to enlarge the building or the use greater than what historically existed. And from a particular suitability standpoint, in this context, I did visit the site. I looked at zoning for the area. As the board is aware, this site is in your R7.5 zone. It historically is a single family residential zone that allows development on lots that are 7,500 square feet and greater, having widths of 75 feet and depth of 75 feet, but hitting that 7,500 square feet minimum. Again, we know that a three-family home has existed on the property for 85 years. We heard from the attorney regarding this board has issued that certificate of non-conformity in 1995. The site itself is 2.72 times larger than the minimum lot size for the district. So the site is able to accommodate a larger residential building. No bulk variances are required. If you look at the building coverage chart, this zone allows for a building coverage of 20%. And that's an indication of, you know, as a lot gets larger, that building coverage is commensurate with the lot. So a larger lot, traditionally, we have a lot larger building as a result of that. Here, the building percentage is just 7%, where 20% is permitted. So I see the building as being comparably small when evaluating it in comparison to the lot size. And I know, and again, I think it's clear if there were not for fire that this use would be here for some time. There was no intent to ever abandon this use. And finally, I know as a result of this process, residents would have access to high quality new housing as a result of the new building. I did look at your 2005 master plan and your 2020 re-examination report. This application would advance the following goal, to preserve the character and quality of existing residential neighborhoods while providing the opportunity for redevelopment and preservation where desirable and possible. For these reasons, this application supports a minimum of two purposes of the municipal land use law. Purpose A, because the site is particularly well suited for the use, it promotes the general welfare. Purpose G, it provides sufficient space in an appropriate location. This is purpose G, to meet the needs of New Jersey citizens, and that's for residential uses in this context. Regarding the negative criteria, the variance can be granted without a substantial detriment to the public good, without a substantial impairment to your zone plan. Again, not to be repetitive, but the use has been in existence for 85 years. Any potential negative impacts to the public good, the surrounding property owners have largely been absorbed over time. No new negative impacts are anticipated. And regarding your zone plan, I noted that due to the size of the lot of 20,407 square feet, it's 2,093 square feet shy of meeting, taking that 75,000 or 75 square feet times three to meet the anticipated population density for this area. So in this regard, it's my opinion that allowing the reconstruction of the home would not result in a substantial departure from the planned density and concentration of people for the area as well. And lastly, I would just say that here, I think we have a very unusual change circumstance affecting this piece of property, and that And even today, since COVID and the like, that we have a significant new demand for housing that hasn't existed in years past. And all these reasons combined, I believe, make this application a good application and one that I hope the board can support.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I have no questions for Mr. Rickey.
Any other members of the board have any questions for this witness? Hearing none. Mr. Bonner, anything else?
I can sum up for you, which is very short, reiterating things that were said tonight.
Good.
As stated, this non-conforming use was certified by the board, has been in existence for at least 85 years. There's no intent by the applicant to circumvent the ordinance. He worked with your building inspectors and building department throughout the process. He's rebuilding safer, modern apartments, and he has done his best to address all comments by the in the staff reports. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. No other questions from this board about this application or any comments? Hearing none, I'm going to move to the public portion. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application? Ms. Buckley?
No one, Chairman.
No one's there? Okay, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application.
Steve Weissman, I second it.
Thank you, Mr. Weissman. Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes. Can I just jump in? Is this motion based on the A1 alternate parking proposal that was supported by Mr. Hinterstein?
That would be part of the language, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please continue to roll.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrondo?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application has been approved. We will memorialize it in our next meeting and send a copy of the resolution to you.
Thank you, members. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Good night, gentlemen. Let's move on to item number 1221-ZB-33/34B, Loria Landscaping.
Evening, members of the board. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, evening, members of the board. My name is Tim Arch again. I'm still an attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey, and I'm here representing Loria Landscaping. We are asking for a use variance to continue a landscaping business on the property, as well as several variances, the majority of which are existing variances with regard to the property. To go through them quickly, lot width, there's a 94.17 foot lot width existing. 23.2 front yard setback existing, 2.2 front side yard setback existing. There is an accessory structure located partially over the property line, which is a chicken coop. We are actually proposing to remove that, so we are not requesting that variance. As well as at the top, there is a metal storage container that was originally called out as a variance. That will be removed as well, so that variance will not be requested. There is a wall walkway partially located within the right-of-way, which is existing, a 94.14 foot lot frontage that is existing. And then there are several accessory buildings that have variances pertaining to it, which are all listed there on the agenda. Tonight, since we're the last application, I'm going to hopefully not go too long, but we have three witnesses tonight. We have Mr. John Loria, who is the owner of the property. We have Mr. Greg Oman, who is our engineer, and we have Colleen McGurk, who is our professional planner. Obviously the general housekeeping, I would ask Mr. Keneally if we have jurisdiction in front of the board.
Yes, the notice was done quite some time ago. It's been carried in numerous times with announcements made that no further notice was required.
Thank you. I also have two reports that I'm working off of tonight. The first is Mr. Hinterstein's report dated April 28th, 2022. And the other is Mr. Chadwick's report dated April 1st, 2022. If I may, before I call Mr. Loria, if I can just briefly address those, at least as to the usage of the property. I know Mr. Oman will be addressing more of the layout of the property. This is a Mr. Loria has owned has been here in Piscataway for more than 40 years on the property. The landscaping business that is there, I believe, has been around since the 80s. As Mr. Chadwick indicates in his report, the review of the aerial photograph shows that it's approximately the same condition. He doesn't see any stockpiling of landscaping materials. And partly you'll come to find out that when you say a landscaping business, it may not be what you're thinking of in terms of, we're not talking about stockpiling large piles of material. We're not talking about stump grinding to create or produce any mulch or quarrying of rocks to produce any gravel. We're not talking about any retail sales. There's no anticipation that any members of the public are going to be coming onto the property for purposes of hiring or looking at materials. And there's no hazardous materials kept there. In fact, Mr. Loria subcontracts out any work that has to do with chemicals or pesticides from his landscaping business. So it's really, when we're talking about running a landscaping business out of the property, it's really, we're talking about storing some materials there, some equipment, trucks, and the other light machinery and tools of the trade for landscaping. It's not a big operation like you might imagine. This isn't a garden center or a large landscaping area. So,
all right, come on, Tim, let's speed it up a little bit.
Okay, I'll speed it up a little bit.
Like the life story of the landscaping industry.
Well, you were so mean to me on my last one. I figured
I'm going to be meaner if this doesn't go expeditiously.
So in terms of employees, there are 6 employees plus Mr. Loria. I believe 5 of those employees are his relatives who live either on the property or close by to the property. There are at maximum 8 trucks or vehicles that are on the property at any given time. In addition to that, there are no set hours of operation in terms of, again, retail sales or anything along those lines. People will come there, pick up a truck or the item and go out to whatever site that they are using. In terms of
Mr. Arch, I think the board needs this information via testimony rather than representations from its attorney.
I understand that. It was my intention to ask Mr. Loria one simple question of, is everything that I said accurate? And would he reflect that in his testimony? But if you like, I could certainly swear him in and have him state that.
Well, I think with respect to certain items like hours of operation, et cetera, I think we need that testimony.
Certainly. Well, then I will ask Mr. Loria if he can be sworn in and we can take his testimony at this time.
Mr. Loria, are you present?
Yes.
Mr. Loria?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. Okay. I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Okay.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
John Loria, 278 Stelton Road.
Thank you.
Mr. Loria, in terms of what my long-winded presentation, is everything that I said accurate?
Perfect. Yes.
Okay. And in terms of employees, is it true you have 6 employees?
Yes, five of them employees they're all my kids.
Okay. And do some of them actually live on the premises or live nearby?
A couple of them do. Yes.
Okay.
Two of them have moved out, but that's it.
Okay. And in terms of the machinery that we're talking about, you have, I believe, you told me, 2 small skid loaders and 1 bucket loader. And that's the extent of the, what I'll call machinery equipment that you have there?
Yes, and the rest are trucks.
Okay. And those trucks, you said is it fair to say that at the most peak time where you would have the most number of vehicles on the property, would you say about 8 is a fair estimate?
Yes.
Okay. And you're not proposing, just to address Mr. Hinterstein's report, You're not proposing any bulk materials to be stored on site, correct?
No, not at all.
Okay. And you don't store any chemicals or any pesticides on site, correct?
Nope. I never did, never will.
Okay. In terms of working on that machinery, you don't conduct any repairs of that machinery on site, do you?
No, we do maybe an oil change, a maintenance.
So maintenance, regular maintenance of the vehicles, similar to what any normal vehicle owner would do.
Mainly oil change and maybe grease them.
Okay. Anything beyond that, you would take that out to another site to do repairs on that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So in regards to the condition of the site, you've actually made a lot of efforts since this application was filed to address or to clean up the site. Is that correct?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And part of that is removing a kind of a dilapidated fence that was there already, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And it's your intention to replace that with a solid 6-foot fence?
Yes.
Okay. And in terms of a lot of the accessory buildings, I don't want to step on Mr. Oman's testimony, but you've removed those, or you plan to remove a good portion of those. Is that correct?
Yes. Like you said, I don't want to step on it because, you know, I think that's his department.
Okay.
I could tell you what I removed.
Well, I'll leave that to Mr. Oman's testimony. In terms of, is there anything else that you want to let the board know in terms of the operation, the landscaping operation on the site? Or do you think that about covers it?
No, that's about it. It's actually cut down from what it used to be, actually.
In the interest of time, I'm gonna ask leave Mr. Loria to the board.
Okay.
Chairman, you might want to go to Mr. Henderson to see if he has any.
Yeah, Henry. Any questions for Mr. Loria?
I just have a couple questions. You talked about briefly. I think your Mr. Arch talks briefly about hours. You said there's no hours though, but what time do your employees go out in the morning?
Usually around 7.
Okay. And return 4 or 5, something in that neighborhood?
Yes. Yeah, it depends. You know how landscaping, sometimes you work a little later. If we're going further, you get up a little earlier and head out a little earlier, but otherwise it's pretty standard.
Is it fair to say, Mr. Loria, you're not doing much landscaping in the dark?
Yes.
Okay.
You're right. No, we don't.
Do you have snow operations as well?
Yes.
Okay. During the winter, you may go out any type of hour, correct?
Yeah, but that's only with the truck. So all the machines and stuff are parked on site, you know, on wherever I'm working. And you know, my trucks are all...
Okay.
They're quiet, you know. I don't have much hot rod stuff or anything here anymore like I used to.
Okay. And as far as the type of vehicles that you're going to store in the yard and machinery, what pickup trucks, dump trucks, backhoes?
No bigger than I'm sure you're aware, like a 4500 Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the biggest. I have no more 10-ton trucks like I used to have. None of that stuff.
Okay.
You know, it's better just to hire now and do it that way. Nothing bigger.
Okay. That's it, Henry?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else on the board have any questions? Hearing none. Mr. Arch, please proceed.
My next witness would be Mr. Greg Oman. I would ask him to be sworn in, please.
Mr. Oman, are you present?
Right here.
Could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
You swear the testimony you're about to give you the truth?
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Sure. Gregory Oman, O-M-A-N, address 261 Cleveland Avenue, Highland Park, New Jersey, 08904.
Thank you.
And I believe, Mr. Oman, you've been in front of this board on multiple occasions?
I have several occasions. It's been about a year or two since I have been in front of this board.
And your credentials?
Please proceed, Mr. Arsh. That's fine.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, and your credentials have not degraded since the last time you've been on, correct?
They have not.
He's been before me a couple of times, so he's acceptable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Oman, I'm going to turn the floor over to you. If you can please tell us about the site.
Certainly. I'm going to share my screen now. Can everyone see the aerial photo?
Yes, we can.
Perfect. So I have two pre-marked exhibits. The first one entitled A, marked as A1 with today's date. It's entitled Existing Conditions Exhibit. It's an aerial photo showing the current property, what is on the property, the surrounding properties, and the property boundary. This is a 1-acre parcel identified by the township's tax map as block 2101, lot 10.01, also known as 278 Stelton Road. Site falls within the R20 zone, residential district, in which a commercial operation is not permitted within the zone. Therefore, we are requesting a use variance from the board tonight. The site is bound by Stelton Road to the east, single family homes to the north and to the south, and multifamily development off to the west that fronts out onto Old New Brunswick Road. Property is approximately 330 feet from the signalized intersection of Old New Brunswick Road and Stelton Road. Site is fully developed. I'll zoom in a little. It's fully developed. It has a 1.5-story single family home set off of the right of way, approximately 23.2 feet. Directly behind the home is an above ground pool with a surrounding deck. And then there's approximately 11 accessory structures along the southerly and northerly property line. There's sidewalk along the entire frontage along Stelton Road and a single movement, full movement driveway at the northern end of the building that permits access in and out of the site. My second exhibit, which is marked as A2, again with tonight's date, entitled Site Plan Exhibit, shows what is being proposed by the applicant for this particular application, in which we're going to start with the removal of 6 of those 11 structures, 3 of them along the northerly property line, including a shed, a metal container, and a chicken coop, and then 3 additional along the southerly property line, including a carport, 2 carports actually, and a shed. In total, we're removing 1,595 square feet of accessory buildings that exist on site today.
So, Mr. Oman, you're projecting to remove 9 of 11?
Not all 11. We're proposing to remove 6 of those.
6 of 11. Thank you.
The existing wooden fence that exists along the southerly property line in pretty rough shape is going to be totally removed, along with an existing berm that's kind of crept over the property line is going to be removed as well. We are proposing a 6-foot-high wooden solid fence starting on the southerly side of the property, roughly in the middle of where the pool is located. We're going to work towards the west, towards the rear of the property, all the way to the rear property line, across the entire rear property line, and then heading back towards Stelton Road until that fence hits the 40-foot front yard setback. That's where it's going to end. Again, that's a 6-foot-high solid wooden fence. We're going to eliminate the retaining wall that's located within the right-of-way. We're going to pull that back and reconstruct it outside of the right-of-way, so this way it falls on the applicant's property. And as I mentioned, we're going to eliminate that southwesterly berm that's kind of creeping over the property line. The applicant is proposing 20 arborvitae trees, all located in the western end of the property, in the rear of the property. They're going to be approximately planted at 7 to 8 foot in height. Mature widths usually get up to about 15 feet with a 30 foot kind of life height of these. And then we're going to plant a few about 35 feet along each of the side yard property lines heading towards Stelton Road. In my review of the property, the pavement on site is in very good condition. The rearmost portion of the property is stone gravel. Very well compacted, had no problems driving my truck over it. I saw several vehicles parked within those areas without any issues on site. We've already obtained our Middlesex County letter of no interest for the property. And because we're really not doing any other disturbance, I don't see any other agency approvals that are required for this particular application. I've had the opportunity to discuss with the applicant and review the two review letters, the first being the April 1st, 2022 memo from John Chadwick, and saw that there was really no site plan issues that I needed to comment on. I believe the testimony that John was looking for was addressed by the applicant. And then the April 28th, 2022 Division of Engineering and Planning Development memorandum, we can comply with all recommendations made within that memorandum with the exception of two. In discussing with the applicant, number 10 regarding adding curbing and pavement. In my review, the pavement is in great condition. I saw no issues with the parking on site. My fear always when you have an existing site that's completed in adding curbing, you basically then are changing grading and you create drainage issues. You then have to fill it up areas at least 6 inches for the height of the curb. This operation's been in existence for many years, decades even, and it's been functioning well. I saw no issues. And in my professional opinion, I don't believe it's necessary. The other item was number 8 in terms of the additional landscaping that is being requested along the side property lines. The applicant would like to maintain the landscaping that's being proposed in front of the board on this exhibit tonight. Other than that, that basically summarizes my testimony for this applicant.
Thank you.
No further questions for Mr. Oman.
Thank you, Mr. Arch. Any members of the board have any questions for Mr. Oman? Hearing none, Mr. Arch, please proceed.
Our next witness would be Ms. Colleen McGurk, our professional planner.
Ms. McGurk, are you present?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony, the other right hand.
Yeah.
You swear the testimony about to give should be the truth.
I do.
Your name and address, please.
Colleen McGurk, 28 Westwood Drive, Bayville.
Could you spell your last name, please?
M-C-G-U-R-K.
Thank you.
Ms. McGurk, have you testified in front of the Piscataway board before?
I have.
Okay. And your credentials have not changed. If anything, they've gotten better since then, correct?
Correct.
Good. You can proceed, Ms. Arch.
Ms. McGurk, I'm going to turn the floor over to you.
Thank you. In preparation for this testimony, I have reviewed the Land Development Ordinance, the 2005 Master Plan, and the 2020 re-exam, the application and plans, reviewed aerials on historicaerials.com, and did an on-site inspection. The subject property, known as Block 2101, Lot 10.01, contains 43,376 square feet and is located within the R20 residential zone. The lot contains 11 accessory structures, a 1.5-story dwelling, and an above-ground pool. The applicant is proposing to continue the existing landscaping business. The area is a mix of residential townhomes, single-family dwellings, and commercial businesses. Directly north across Stilton Road is a farmer's market and dwelling, which also contains a gravel parking lot, no curbing, and trucks and farm equipment. The applicant is proposing a total of 20 green giant arborvitae, 12 along the rear property line and 4 along each side of the property, with a planting height of 7 to 8 feet and a mature height of 30 feet with a width of 15. Once the plantings have matured, they will provide a substantial buffer in that area. A D1 use variance is required for this existing business, as well as several bulk variances. The site is particularly suited for the existing use because it has been located at the site for decades, as previous testimony has attended to, without adversely impacting the surrounding neighborhood. This property has changed very little over the years, but the area around the property has become more developed. This is a low intense commercial use, accessory to the existing single family dwelling. There is a mix of residential and commercial properties on Stilton Road, including a large townhome development known as Avalon, a Chase Bank, Summit Medical Group, and Dwight Eisenhower Elementary School, and a new multi-story residential development to the west of the property. The lot is also particularly suited for this type of use since it is long and narrow, and the majority of the structures are hidden from street view, and the residential dwelling is what is mainly seen from the roadway. The main issue is the appearance of the property, which the applicant is mitigating by proposing a total of 20 evergreen trees and a new 6-foot fence. The applicant is also proposing to remove 1,595 square feet of accessory structures, which includes the bird coop that extends beyond the property line and five other structures. The existing fence that is in disrepair is being replaced with a 6-foot vinyl fence along the rear and sides of the property. The existing landscaping wall within the right-of-way is also being removed. The 2005 master plan and the 2020 re-exam show the property in the R20 zone with no recommended changes. In order to justify the variances requested, bulk variance relief can be granted based upon C1 and C2 analysis. The C1 analysis deals with hardships relating to the property, the physical aspects of the site. The C2 is a weighing test. Do the benefits outweigh the detriments? The proposed bulk relief can be granted based on C2 analysis since the proposed variances advance the purposes of the MLUL, and the benefits of granting those variances outweigh any detriment that may result from their approval. The following bulk variances are required. Minimum lot width is 94.17 feet, whereas 100 is required. This is an existing condition. The business has operated this property for decades, and the lot size that is lacking is de minimis. The slightly undersized lot does not pose any substantial detriment to the purposes of the zone plan. The existing front yard setback for the dwelling is 23.2 feet, whereas 40 is required. This is also an existing condition, and the location of the home has no negative impacts. The existing side yard setback for the dwelling is 2.2 feet, whereas 15 feet is required. The dwelling was constructed in 1924 and is therefore a pre-existing non-conforming use. The existing side yard setback does not create any negative impacts. The required side yard setback for all of the accessory structures is 8 feet, whereas the existing setbacks vary. The applicant is proposing to remove 6 accessory structures, thereby substantially reducing the variances. The applicant is requesting variances for the frame shed and carport on the northern side of the property, where the existing setback is 3.1, 4.85 feet, 3.1 feet, 4.85 feet, for the counter outdoor kitchen, and also for the existing frame shed, which is 1.6 feet from the southern property line, and 1 foot for the existing frame garage toward the rear of the property along the northern property line. A paved parking lot is required, and also curbing and striping for employee parking and the landscape constructing vehicles in order to prevent contamination, whereas the majority of the lot is gravel. The lot has been functioning well with this type of use for decades or more. The lot in its current condition is similar to the surrounding uses, in particular the agricultural business farm stand located directly across Stoughton. So it fits in with the existing character of the neighborhood since it has been part of the neighborhood for decades. The township has also called out a variance for the parking area and outdoor storage within a residential zone. This variance should be subsumed if the use variance is granted. The existing impacts of the parking area are being mitigated by the proposed 6-foot vinyl fence, which will replace the existing wooden fence, which is in disrepair. And prior testimony has stated that no outdoor storage of landscaping materials will be occurring. This use and bulk variance application advances several purposes of the MLUL. I promise I'm wrapping up. Purpose A, to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. We know that the property is located in the R20 zoning district and contains a single family dwelling with an accessory landscape business use. The existing use is consistent with the surrounding area. No changes are proposed to the site and no expansion of the current use and an improvement of 20 evergreen trees. Purpose G, to provide sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of agriculture, residential, recreational, commercial, and industrial uses and open space, both public and private, according to their respective environmental requirements in order to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens. This area contains a mix of residential and commercial, and this business provides services to the local residents. Purpose M, to encourage coordination of the various public and private procedures and activities shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development into the more efficient use of land. I believe the township should approve this application and allow it to continue in its present use, but with the proposed improvements while eliminating multiple variances. The only negative impact is visual. There are no operations, retail, or production on site, only storage of equipment, and the fence will provide sufficient mitigation of any visual impacts in addition to the landscaping proposed. It is my professional opinion that the granting of the use variance and the bulk variances will not result in substantial detriment to the public good and will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the master plan or the zone plan. This is an existing business. The building size and low intensity of the use will remain the same. The benefits of this business will outweigh any of the detriments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Mr. Hinterstein has some comments he would like to make.
Perfect.
Mr. Chairman, looking at this, since it's a use variance case, and since Mr. Loria may not own this property forever and it may be sold, I think that the board should consider some conditions upon the use variance so that if the property is sold, we don't all of a sudden have a landscaper here who's doing, you know, substantially more intense work than maybe Mr. Loria is right now. I appreciate the fact that his business isn't that intense right now, but once you offer or once you grant this use variance, it doesn't, you know, prohibit another landscaper from purchasing this property and, you know, maybe running a little bit wild here. So, I mean, he talked about the number of vehicles that are stored there, perhaps, you know, bump it up a little bit, but, you know, put a limit on the number of vehicles, perhaps 10, perhaps the type of vehicles are no greater than like a 10-ton truck, which I think Mr. Loria said he doesn't have even any of those anymore. Perhaps prohibit heavy machinery from being stored on the site.
Could you just say that again?
Prevent heavy machinery from being kept on the site, excavators, things of that nature. Small machinery, backhoes, mini excavators would be okay. I think no repairs allowed on site, just strictly maintenance of machinery and vehicles, that's sort of customary for those vehicles. I definitely think that the offering should be a little bit more substantial than what's being provided than a single row of arborvitae. I think that's a start, but again, I think in any commercial area versus a residential area, I believe the ordinance requires a 50-foot buffer. So, to put a single row of arborvitae, I think we need to, you know, I could live with a single row perhaps of arborvitae along the sides of the property due to its narrowness, perhaps just in the area where the majority of the equipment will be stored. And I'd be more than happy to work with the applicant's engineer on that. And then perhaps doubling up the buffer along the rear lot line against the multifamily. Again, full residential surrounding this property. I'm sure it'll be developed even to more intense use at some point. And we have this landscape use smack in the middle of all of this residential. So again, I think those things will help prevent, you know, your entity that may come in after the property sold.
I agree.
And I think that would hopefully give the adjacent residents some comfort.
I agree.
Protect Mr. Roars, do you agree to those comments?
Mr. Loria. Mr. Loria, if you've heard what Mr. Hinterstein said, do you agree to those conditions to limit?
Let me speak before you ask him that question, because I'm going to offer a couple others. You said there's no retail sales. That should be included. You said there's no hazardous materials being stored. That should be added. You said no bulk material would be stored. That should be added. The trucks, you increased it from 8 to 10, Henry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to work with them. It's a decent sized property. Even up to even 12, I'm happy with. But, you know,
okay. The size of the truck
becomes a point where, you know, we want to put some limit in case it's sold and then a bigger outfit comes in and
tries. Yeah, well, that's why I think if you do retail, prohibit that. The only thing they didn't comment on, and I can't remember from field reconnaissance. You have a sign out there?
I don't believe that. No, there's no signage. Mr. Loria, there's no proposal to put any signage because,
okay,
quite frankly, you don't want
people. I would include that if the board approves it.
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's bushes, it. The bushes are no problem for me. You know what I mean? In the back.
So, Mr. Loria, if I may, if I can ask, if you heard all the comments of Mr. Hinterstein and you've heard the comments of Mr. Chadwick, do you agree to those conditions? And in addition, do you agree to work with Mr. Hinterstein in terms of maybe modifying the plantings a bit and work out some sort of negotiation as to what
that he wants more bushes in the back, right, Henry?
A little bit, like a double row of buffering in the back and maybe a single row that extends a little bit further down the sides. That's all.
Yeah, that's no problem at all, you know.
I wouldn't think
actually,
it would be
I had no idea, that, you know, how many was going to go in there, you know.
Okay. I figured after one condition as a landscaper, you wouldn't have a problem with agreeing.
No, me and you have worked together before. We know the landscaping business.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions for this application or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open it up to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any comments or questions about this application? Buckley?
No one is raising their hand, Chairman.
Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close the public portion and I'm going to make a motion to approve this with the amendments and the language that Henry and Ms. John Chadwick just put in at the end there.
I'll second.
Thank you. Can you roll the call? Call the roll, sorry.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Orch, your application's been approved.
Thank you so much. I was going to quote the definition from Webster's of landscaping, but you cut me off too quickly. So I'll just say thank you.
Have a good night, Mr. Arch.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Okay. All right. We have to circle back to item number 621-ZB43V, Bala Subramanian.
Submarine.
Is Mr. Right. Subramanian present?
Yes, sir.
Calling again. Is Mr. Subramanian present?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
How are you doing?
He showed up.
Okay. Are you ready to proceed? Sir, are you ready to proceed? Mr. Subramanian, are you ready to put your case on?
Yes, sir. I am.
Okay. You were previously sworn in this application. Is that correct?
Yes.
You remain sworn in to tell the truth. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We want to basically we're applying for bulk variance to repair and rebuild the existing accessory structure with no changes in there. And this is a legal structure that was there when we purchased the property 30 years ago.
It is, Mr. Subramanian, it is not a legal structure. That is why you're here.
We have a deed that we sent over, and I think I sent it to Laura, and I have the deed.
It does not matter what the deed says if the deed is not from prior to 1953.
Okay. The one thing I can say on that is that the type of the structure that's there, that basically, based on the construction that's there, this type of construction, and also I have a valuation that shows that this structure has been there since 1953. And I sent that valuation, which I got from upper request, and that I sent to Ms. Buckley, and then the board should have that.
The documents that you have submitted do not support that the two accessory structures have been there since prior to 1953.
If you look at the evaluation that's there from there are two valuations that are there. One from 1974, that's there. If you look in the, let me see if you can bring that up. I think the board should have that valuation that was sent.
The valuation from 1973 does not help your case. You need to supply something from prior to 1953.
There's one other valuation which I have from 1956 that's there. And that also includes this structure that's there. And the one in the 1974 that shows that this structure has been there for more than 20 years.
Sir, you have not provided proof that this is these are pre-existing non-conforming structures. Do you have any additional evidence to offer to the board?
I don't have any other additional evidence except that the type of the structure that's there, it's a balloon structure, and that type of construction has not been there in Piscataway, I mean, from like mid-50s. And that's one thing that shows that this structure has been there before, prior to 1950.
All right, Mr. Chairman, this applicant has not applied for a non-conforming use certificate. He applied for variances. Mr. Subramanian, do you have any other witnesses?
No, I don't have any other witnesses. Okay.
Do you have a professional planner witness?
No, I can get one, but I don't have one.
Mr. Subramanian, you've been before the board at least four times before. You've been given an opportunity to amend your application for a non-conforming use. You have not done so. You keep claiming it's a non-conforming use, but you haven't applied for a non-conforming use. You've applied for variances, yet you haven't supplied any evidence to the board through a professional witness like a planner to justify the variances you're seeking. Do you have any other evidence to offer to the board?
Except the ones from the upper requests, I don't have any other. And the deed that's there that shows that it was legally transferred over to me.
And you've previously supplied that to the board, is that correct?
Yeah, I did supply that to the board.
Okay. Do you have any other evidence to offer to the board other than what you've already submitted?
No, I don't.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, this applicant has certain legal requirements. He has not met them. I have to advise the board that the board should deny this application.
Okay. I will request, before you do that, sir, I'll request to give me one more chance. Let me bring a professional planner to, you know, go through this and
Mr. go to the board. Three times you were in front. I missed one of your hearings here, but we've asked you three times to bring back professionals. And each time you've come back just by yourself with the two documents that you submitted the first time you were in front of this board. At this point, it's been going on for over a year, 2 years almost. And you're wasting the zoning board's time and the township's efforts here. I'm gonna ask the members of the board to deny this application without prejudice, and that's.
Technically, Mr. Chairman, we should open it to the public because they have been here all of these times.
Okay. Anyone in the public portion have any comments to give on this application?
Yeah, Usman Aziz.
Mr. Aziz, are you present?
Yes, I am.
Could you raise your right hand?
Yes, I do.
The testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Your address, name and address, please.
Yes, my address is 10 Wallhaven Court, Piscataway, and zip code 08854.
Thank you. Could we have your comments, please?
Sure. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I think we just, our property is located right next to this structure. And I think we moved into this property in the February of 2020. And I think as the chairman rightly pointed out, it's been going on for the past 2 years. I think our major concern has been the the current, the shape of the structure, because, even the walls and the roof, it's completely demolished. You know, they are sort of falling off. we can't really go into our backyard because we are scared because something can always, you know, fall down. So I would really appreciate for the board to sort of, you know, decide on this structure. Either it's going to stay, then it should be repaired, you know, as soon as possible, because it is a hazard for at least two or three properties that are, you know, basically sharing this, the backyards with this property. So that is has been our major concern. The other issue I want to bring to the board is that, you know, we've seen a lot of vultures and I don't know, like different kind of animals that are sort of residing within the structure, you know. Yeah. And, so this is certainly, you know, a hazard for at least the neighbors, the immediate neighbors who, you know, are living in a close vicinity to the structure. So we'd really appreciate the board to sort of take, you know, the step to sort of address this issue. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Aziz. Laura, anyone else?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. My suggestion is still out there. Vote to deny this applicant without prejudice.
I have a question, Steve. Do we, by denying this, does that mean that the structure must be removed?
If the board denies it, then the township can take enforcement issues, whatever that entails, if they figure that the board or that the structure is not repairable, they can issue a demolition requirement. That's not up to the board. Essentially, the applicant has not provided proofs to the board sufficient to grant variances. That's the end of it. Then it becomes the township's issue.
Thank you for the clarification. I did a walkthrough of the area, and I would agree with Mr. Aziz. This is not just an eyesore, it's a danger to the community.
Absolutely.
As well, and a fire hazard. So I would like to second the motion that we...
Thank you, Mr. Weissman.
You're welcome.
Ms. Buckley, please call her up.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Subramanian, your application has been denied. We will memorialize this in a written document at our next meeting and send a copy to you.
Let's move on to item number 13, the adoption of resolutions from the regular meeting of April 14th, 2022.
The first resolution is Vincent Santiago. This application was approved. Mr. Weissman?
You're muted, Steve.
Sorry, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
I think we're losing him.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes. No.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next resolution is Paul Pacero. This application was approved. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next resolution is Siva Kumar Natarajan. This application is approved. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
The last resolution is a resolution of withdrawal for Alka Srivastava. That's an application they notified us that they wanted to withdraw. So I will need a motion and a second on that and then a vote.
No.
I make a motion.
I second.
All in favor?
We still need a voice vote on that. Or a roll call.
Laura, did you hear me? I made the offer.
You made the offer. Okay. Right. So we have Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions that I have.
Thank you. Item number 14, adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting of April 14, 2022. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, and I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, aye. Once again, thank you for coming out this evening. It was a long one tonight, but the township appreciates it. Thanks again, everyone. Be safe.
Good night.
Okay. Have a good evening, everyone.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.